Mississippi, way down south, boy, down with the alligators. I can do that, boy. You want that?
Hello, and welcome to episode 81 of Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. I'm Craig.
Hello, I'm Reza.
So with over 40 years of teaching between Reza and I, we are going to help you improve your English and take it to the next level with our podcasts. In this episode, British and American English pronunciation differences. But first, I think we've got some listener feedback, Reza.
Indeed we do. Let's begin with our regular Elisa from Finland. Hello, Elisa. I hope you're well.
Hi, Elisa.
Elisa writes, hi again. I hope you are both well. Really interesting topic, and you gave us many fantastic tips and examples. Thanks. That was how to start a conversation and make small talk, which is inglespodcast.com/77, episode 77. She continues, and I'll attempt to remember not trying. Ooh, that's a mistake, Elisa. You should say, remember not to try. Because it's make an effort, so that's with infinitive. Remember not to try to break the ice by saying, hi, nice day for it. Yes, because it's a little bit old-fashioned. Sorry, have I met you before? Oh, yes, because she says it would definitely be skating on thin ice.
What does that mean, skating on thin ice?
Well, that's a nice metaphor that Elisa has used. If you can imagine skating on thin ice, it's dangerous. The ice could break. So if you're skating on thin ice metaphorically, it means you're taking a big risk. You could get into big trouble, like skating on thin ice.
And I like the way Lisa has connected that that expression with breaking the ice. So to break exactly. The ice with someone, if you use those expressions, you could be skating on thin ice and maybe have an uncomfortable encounter.
Yeah. Elisa, by the way, we appreciate your sense of humor. Well done for using two metaphors about ice. You're practicing them and that's funny. However, in real life, in a non-humorous situation, it's not a good idea to use many metaphors using the same subject. For example, three metaphors using ice. It would sound a bit crazy.
Unless you're trying to be clever and trying exactly. to be funny and think of as many as possible.
Exactly, which is what you're clearly doing here now, and we appreciate that. But don't do it to someone who's expecting a serious conversation. Only do it for fun.
And you corrected, Reza, you corrected Elisa saying with try. Maybe we should explain the difference between the gerund and the infinitive. I'll attempt to remember not to try to break the ice, or I'll attempt to remember not trying to break the ice. So when it's a gerund, it's to experimentar. So the computer doesn't work, try turning it on, try turning it off, try turning it on again, or my car isn't working, try pushing it. That's the experiment. And the infinitive is the esfuerzo, to make an effort. So I tried to lift the table, but it was too heavy, for example. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So you should have said, I remember not to try to break the ice.
Moving on to our Patreon news, because it's been a while since we spoke about Patreon, so we'd like to give you an update, some news on what's going on with Patreon. At the moment, we have seven lovely people, seven patrons donating money every month for us to hopefully get full transcriptions of each episode of this podcast. At the moment, we're receiving $9.70 per month, and we need 100 to pay for full transcriptions for each episode. So we're on the way. We're going. We're not there yet, but hopefully next year we'll be able to pay somebody to translate these episodes for you with our Patreon donations.
$9.70, Craig. What if we got another 30 cents? That would be $10. And then we just wrote an extra zero, and then it would be 100 in our imagination.
Well, I don't know. I don't think they'd accept that. We want to say thank you very, very much to the people who are supporting us every month with €1 or €2. And those people are Daniel Contreras Aladro. Thank you. Armando Agudelo. Manuel Tarazoma, Alem Lara, Sara Jarabo, Mamen, of course, our friend from Viescas, and my good friend, the American guy, Corey Finneran from IVMV, the baseball podcast in Chicago, IVMV.com. So thank you to those people who are helping us, and I hope that very soon we'll be able to supply full transcripts to all of these podcasts. If you would like to support us on Patreon, go to patreon.com, that's patreon.com/Inglés podcast. patreon.com/Inglés podcast. Any more feedback, Razor?
Yes, we have an email from Ainoa. She asks, what does to figure out mean? The phrasal verb to figure out.
To figure out.
Well, I know it. To figure out means to solve or discover the cause of a problem.
But we wouldn't normally use that in British English, would we?
Well, not as often as the Americans.
Yeah, that's more of an American expression, American phrasal verb. Yeah.
Although it certainly can be used by British people, but Americans seem to use it a lot more for some reason. It's more popular there.
So what would we say here in, well, not here, but in Britain, what would British English speakers use instead of figure out?
Instead of figure, probably to work it out.
Work it out, yeah.
Like the famous Beatles song, We Can Work It Out.
Yeah. So, for example, you could say, don't worry about lunch tomorrow when your family comes to visit. We'll work it out, or we'll figure it out. Yeah, we can get a takeaway, for example. We'll solve the problem.
Or what about, why are we paying so much for the electricity bill? I can't figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can't work it out. How can it be so expensive?
No entiendo.
Can't get an answer to the question.
Yeah. So to figure out, resolver or solucionar.
We have another piece of feedback, Craig, but I'm not sure who it's from. It's an email, but no name came with it.
Yeah, I don't know who this is from. No. Sorry.
Well, if you're out there and you recognize it, let us know who you are. We'll read it out. It reads, hi, Reza and Craig. Congratulations for your great job on your great work is better because your job is you're a teacher, you're a fireman, and your work is what you do in your job. On your great work. You found the perfect combination of learning English and entertainment.
Thank you.
I really love your podcast. I have pronunciation doubts about the words tomatoes, or is it tomatoes, and potatoes or potatoes.
Potatoes or potatoes.
Actually, no one says potatoes, except in any famous song, because I've heard different ways of pronunciation of both words. Well, for potatoes, you shouldn't have, but maybe you have. Which is the correct one? Ooh, well, I'll answer that in a minute, but let me read on. Finally, I send you, better to use present continuous, I'm sending you...
Yeah, you're sending proverb. Us at the moment.
It's temporary, yeah. A proverb in English that I've learned in English class when I was at school. It says, it takes two to make a quarrel. Thank you again. Please keep on podcasting.
So quarrel is a synonym of argument. It's like to argue, to quarrel, discutir.
I must admit, I'm not familiar with that proverb, are you?
Me neither, but it does remind me. I understand the meaning of it takes two to make a quarrel. You cannot argue with yourself unless you're crazy. But it reminds me of the proverb, it takes two to tango. Have you heard that?
Yeah, no, that one I do know, yeah.
So it means this: it takes two to tango. It cannot happen without more than one person. Mm-hmm. And it usually, I don't know if you agree, Reza, but it's usually for negative situations. For example, I have two friends who are going to get a divorce, and there's a really bad atmosphere between them. My wife blames the man, but it takes two to tango. So yep. they wouldn't be getting a divorce if they didn't agree. So
they're equally to blame, or they both play a part.
There's usually another side to the story. So it always takes two people to make a quarrel.
It's quite a tricky thing to say quickly. It takes two to tango. There's a lot of T's in there. It takes two to tango.
Takes two to tango. It takes two to tango.
And if you're Argentinian, there you go. One made just for you. All about tango.
Before we move on and speak about British and American English pronunciation differences, we'd like to tell you about our wonderful sponsor, iTalki. Reza, why should Spanish people learning English study with iTalki teachers?
Well, Spanish people learning English, or indeed anybody learning any language, in fact, can find many benefits to iTalki. The most beneficial thing of all is that you have the class when you want, in the comfort of your own home.
So it's convenient.
Very convenient. You choose the time where you choose the teacher. How do you choose the teacher? You look at their profile, see their experience, see where they come from. For example, you might prefer an American accent, Canadian, Australian, who knows?
And that's funny, because today we're speaking about differences between American English and British English. If you prefer the American pronunciation, choose an American teacher. If you prefer British pronunciation, choose a British teacher. I know we have listeners in Central and South America. Maybe they'd be more interested in American teachers.
Right. Also, it's an authentic life experience, because you are on Skype, you see the teacher, you can talk about common things, and it's almost as if you're face to face, but on a computer screen. It's very down to earth, very authentic. Also, it's cheap. It's affordable. It's very cheap. In fact, Craig, I think you can tell the listeners about the special offer.
Well, we've both been looking at iTalki recently, and my experience is between 10 and 15 euros per teacher. Obviously, it varies. Each teacher puts their price, but more or less you're paying about 12 or 13 euros per lesson, per hour. And if you register with Inglés Podcast, iTalki are offering 100 free credits, which is a free lesson. So you get one lesson free if you register through us. And to do that, you need to go to inglespodcast.com/italki. inglespodcast.com/italki. And Reza and I would like to thank italki for sponsoring our podcast. Moving on to British and American English pronunciation differences. Now, Reza and I spoke about British and American English in episode 16. So to find that, you need to go to inglespodcast.com/16. But here we'd like to focus specifically on some words that are pronounced differently if you're an American English speaker or a British English speaker. Now, Reza, between the two of us, I think you have the better American accent.
Do you think so?
Definitely. So how you're very good with accents. So how about if I say the British English word and you say the American English pronunciation?
Sorry, gotcha.
Gotcha?
Gotcha, no problem, boss.
Okay, so
does it have to be a crazy sound in American like this, or do you want me to try and sound normal?
Well, that's it, because there are different regional variations, aren't there? I'm sure you can do a southern Mississippi, Baltimore
Mississippi, way down south, boy, down with the alligators. I can do that, boy. You want that?
No, try and do normal.
Go a little bit north of it. I don't know, like what, New York or something like that? I don't know, East Coast or something?
I don't know.
Normal.
Midwest. Go for Chicago. Midwest.
I don't want to insult people. Corey, one of our patrons, would be very insulted if I got the accent wrong. I can't really. Let's just do a generic an American. Okay. I'm going to do the voice of an American who's lived in every single state and so has a bit of a mixture.
Okay. Sounds perfect. Our first word is vitamin. V-I-T-A-M-I-N. Vitamina in Spanish. So vitamin.
Oh, man. You mean vitamin.
Yeah, that's how the Americans say it. Vitamin. Stressing the first syllable. Say it again, Reza.
Vitamin.
Vitamin.
Stressing the syllable and changing the pronunciation from it to I. Vitamin.
Yep. Our second word, which makes Americans laugh, because we say aluminium. How do you say aluminium in Spanish?
Aluminio.
Aluminio. Yeah. So we say, again, aluminium, aluminium, and in America?
In the States, aluminum. Aluminum. The stress changes to the second syllable and the pronunciation. Aluminum.
So there are five syllables in the British pronunciation of aluminium.
But there's only four syllables in the American pronunciation, aluminum.
That's right. Moving on to our next word, which is privacy. Actually, do you say privacy in your Belfast accent, or do you say the other one?
In Belfast, we say privacy, but there are some people in the United Kingdom who say privacy, the American
and
way.
And the American way is privacy.
Privacy.
Yeah.
Some British people have started to say it that way. I think that American TV shows and American culture in general, because it's so global, has influenced many people, and they now use American pronunciation. So you can't say that's 100% British or American.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. In fact, I actually say privacy.
There you go.
So I use the American. I don't know why. I don't know why, but I've always said privacy.
I reckon it's from what I just said. Without knowing it, you've seen it in so many films and TV shows that you think, well, automatically your brain's decided you want to say it that way.
Yeah. So but
it doesn't work the other way. Americans don't adopt British pronunciation ever.
No, they don't, do they?
Because American culture is more dominant.
I think they find it cute. They find it attractive and different and quirky, which is...
Cute is mono, by the way.
Yeah, different, a bit different. But they don't tend to change their pronunciation. So again, let's do it one more time. British English, privacy.
American, privacy.
Our next word I never mix up, because the next word is schedule.
Or schedule.
And I remember when I worked in an insurance company, my boss was very, very strict on us pronouncing correctly schedule. And
really?
Not saying schedule. He hated the American pronunciation of it. And that stuck in my mind. I never forgot that. Yeah, he was very, very against the American pronunciation. I don't know why. But it's very often confused with timetable for Spanish speakers. When you speak about your work schedule or schedule, when you speak about the days you're working, the hours, the times you're working, it's not your timetable. Timetables are for buses, trains, transport, planes, and colleges, schools, that kind of thing. Okay, not for work. I have a busy schedule.
I have a busy schedule.
Our next word, I think, is also a little bit controversial. Now, I'll let you say it first without looking at the different pronunciations. How would you say that? This word, garage, where you keep your car?
In my own natural accent?
Yes.
Garage.
Me too. Garage. Garage. And the Americans would say...
garage.
And some people in Britain would say garage, and they tend to be of the higher classes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree?
Yes. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. Maybe the French influence. When I hear people say garage, British people say garage, I immediately think they come from an upper class background with an expensive private school. We say public school, but a private school education, and from the upper classes. And I've always said garage.
Yeah, me too. Or if they say garage, they might just be American of any social class.
Our next word is, in British English, advertisement. Anuncio.
You mean advertisement.
Advertisement. Yeah. British speakers often make this word shorter and say just advert. There's an advert on TV.
Or even shorter, ad.
Mm-hmm. There is sometimes a change in stress with these words. For example, garage has the first syllable stressed, garage. Garage has the second syllable. Advertisement, the UK pronunciation, and advertisement, stressing the third syllable. So it's not only the sound of the vowel that changes, it's also the word stress. Another word, B-A-L-L-E-T. In British English, ballet.
And in American, stressing the second syllable, ballet.
It sounds a bit pretentious to me. You know, ballet.
Well, because...
Ballet. What's the correct French pronunciation?
Ballet.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think it's the same case as garage and garage. That some posh, some upper class, cultured British people might also say ballet, but just showing that they know the original French pronunciation.
Yeah.
Whereas in America, everyone does it that way. It's mm-hmm. not a status symbol at all. But in British English, it's probably letting you know that they speak French.
So garage is from a French word, and garage is the French pronunciation.
Yeah, like ballet.
Okay, okay.
The French, there is no real stress, except the last syllable is always stronger in any French word. So ballet.
Another word which changes its stress is A-D-U-L-T. In British English, adult. I am an adult.
And American, adult. Stressing the second syllable.
Mm-hmm. An interesting word which usually makes me laugh is H-E-R-B. Because in British English, we pronounce the H.
Why does it make you laugh?
When the American...
When you smoke it, or...?
No.
Oh. What is this word?
I haven't done that for a few years. The Americans do not pronounce...
And he didn't inhale, listeners, by the way. He didn't. He did not inhale this word. He no. did not inhale this word.
That reminded me of another word, a difference. So the Americans do not pronounce the H at the front of herb, where British English speakers do. They say herb.
And in American, herb.
And speaking of herbs or herbs, what about oregano? What's oregano in Spanish?
The same word.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oregano.
Same spelling, everything.
Same pronunciation.
Because I'm sure it's an Italian word that's got into lots of languages. Americans say oregano.
Oregano. Oregano. Next word, W-A-T-E-R. In British English, water.
And in American, water.
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 Water. So the T in some American English pronunciation becomes like a D
yep.
sound, doesn't it?
Yeah. And there are other words like that, like party, water, party. The T sounds like a D.
Better.
Better.
Writing.
Right.
Writing.
Okay, sorry. Writing as in I'm writing a letter. I'm writing a letter, yeah.
And bottom.
Bottom.
Yeah.
Bottom, yeah. That T being converted to a D sound.
Also, another difference, the R sound at the end of words is stronger in American English, isn't it? So
yes, and in Belfast English, where I come from.
And we've mentioned that on the podcast before. So I would say, with my London accent, I would say water. And
Americans would say water. And in Ireland, we'd say something kind of in the middle, water. Right. Which is kind of between the two, in a way.
So how would you pronounce mother?
Mother.
Teacher?
Teacher.
Bar.
Bar.
Yeah, there's definitely more of an R there.
But that was my Belfast accent. Let's do it in American now.
Okay, let's start from the beginning. So I say water.
Water.
Teacher.
Teacher.
Bar.
Bar.
Were.
Were.
Chair.
Chair.
Sister.
Sister.
Yeah.
Even more R sound.
Even more R sound. And British English in the south of England has the what's called the schwa, which is the that we've spoken about before at the end of words ending in ER. So mother, sister, brother, teacher, etc.
And also in the middle of some words, like you said the word in British English, herb. Did you notice me changing my accent to an English person's accent there? I tried. Have you bought some herbs? I wouldn't say herbs. I would say, have you bought some herbs?
That sounded like Brian from Family Man.
Oh, right. Oh, God.
You don't watch Family Man? No.
I do.
Oh, have you bought some herbs? Oh, Brian. Oh, well,
Brian being funny, yeah. Okay.
Have you bought some herbs, Brian?
No, not Brian. Not Brian.
Not Brian. It's the baby, isn't it?
Scratch that, because the Brian's not. Brian's American. It sounds like the baby whose name I've forgotten.
Stuart.
Stewie. Sounds like Stewie.
That's
quite a good impersonation, actually.
Not really.
So, yeah, for me, to impersonate an English person, you just try and sound a bit posher. So that means taking away R sound, so herbs. In Belfast, we would say herbs, with a bit more R sound, but still pronouncing the H. Whereas in America, they don't pronounce the H, but they put even more R sound, so it becomes herbs.
Also, the letter A is pronounced differently. For example, in the south of England, you'll probably hear class. Mm-hmm. And in America?
Class.
Also, I think in the north of England, in some areas, class.
That girl's got class,
Girl's got class, yeah.
Class.
She wears clean knickers. And more examples with the different A sound. So we've got class and...
Class.
After.
After.
Example.
Example.
Laugh.
Laugh.
And can't.
Can't.
Yeah, can't. I can't do it. And now it's your turn to practice your English. We want you to practice your pronunciation. So if you go to speakpipe.com/Inglês podcast, that's speakpipe.com/Inglês podcast, you can record the list of words in this episode. The show notes are at inglespodcast.com/81. So send us a message, practice your speaking, and you can do it in American English or British English or both. We don't mind, as long as you are practicing your speaking. If you prefer to contact us by email with a comment or a question, send your emails to me, Craig@inglespodcast.com, or Reza@belfastreza@gmail.com. Doggone, Reza, that's some hell of an accent you got there, buddy.
Thank you, sirree.
On next week's episode, Reza and Craig's Christmas special. It's nearly Christmas, so we'll be back next week with a special Christmas podcast for you. Thank you for listening, and until next week, it's goodbye from me.
And it's cheerio from me.
Goodbye now. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.